That's what a sermon ought to do. Preaching is God's Spirit working through the written word and through a living earthly vessel to call men and women to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the devil hates preaching. His work is always to silence the preacher, and his work is to distract people and to draw them away from the preaching of God's word. Satan is happy, of course, while the Bible sits on a dusty shelf in a musty condition. But as soon as a man steps forward and in a living, bold fashion preaches, hear ye the word of the Lord, then the devil is not so happy.
Thanks again for joining us on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel. And today we're turning to 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. It is the Lord's command to preach the word, be in season and out of season in preaching. That's the commission that is given to the Christian church with the Bible open, with the word of God before us, to set forth the name of the Lord, the truths of the Lord from his word. And today here on Let the Bible Speak, we're going to come to that message from the pulpit of our church. And I trust that there will be a word for your heart as we dig into this subject. We have Teach Me Thy Way as our hymn, and that's in keeping with our message. Stay tuned with us as we let the Bible speak.
Well, we're turning back to 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And a text that is very often preached when a minister is ordained to the gospel or in a pastorate. And here is Paul the Apostle's word to Timothy. Paul is the aged, the man who has seen this church in Ephesus planted. He has seen the Lord work in grace and raise up many Christians. And now Timothy is being commissioned to the work of preaching and ministering the gospel. And Paul says in chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. And it's evident here from Paul's words to Timothy that he did never want Timothy to give up on preaching. But what if the people should give up on preaching? And that is why it says here that we're to preach in season and out of season. And there are times in churches when it seems that there's a great hunger for the word of God. But there are other times when that appetite diminishes. And there are those who can either take it or leave it. I was somewhat shocked reading about Martin Luther's ministry that 12 years after the peak of that ministry, that he himself complained that there were many people in the church and it seemed as if they were completely asleep and they had no ear for the word of God. Some in our age are crying, give us more worshiping and less preaching. And they perceive that praise and worship is apart or separate from the sermon. Well, the sermon has been around for a long time. And perhaps some feel that the sermon storehouse is so filled up that we don't need so much preaching anymore. We have our libraries, we have our digital resources to access sermons and preaching anytime it's needed. And some might think today that I'm here contending for job security because I'm going to make an appeal for people to give a new energy and a new attention to the whole ministry of preaching and sermons. But it is God's way of building his church and of saving his people. C.H. Spurgeon said, I do not look for any other means of converting men beyond the simple preaching of the gospel and the opening of their ears to hear it. The moment the church of God shall despise the pulpit, God shall despise her. It has been through the ministry that the Lord has always been pleased to revive and bless his churches. Martin Luther maintained, "The preacher's mouth and the words that I hear are not his. They are the words and the message of the Holy Spirit through which he works within me and thus makes me holy." You might be asking, as I did when I sat down to look at this whole matter and look at this text, this charge that was given to Timothy, preach the word. And we ask, what is a sermon anyway? What's it about? And there may be many long, long ideas you could include in what a sermon is. But very simply, it's about moving people to God. That's what a sermon ought to do. Preaching is God's Spirit working through the written word and through a living earthly vessel to call men and women to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the devil hates preaching. His work is always to silence the preacher, and his work is to distract people and to draw them away from the preaching of God's word. Satan is happy, of course, while the Bible sits on a dusty shelf in a musty condition. But as soon as a man steps forward and in a living, bold fashion preaches, hear ye the word of the Lord, then the devil is not so happy. And today, as I speak to you about preaching, I must really speak to you also about hearing. Because after all, so much depends upon the ear that you and others have for the preaching of God's word. And just as the preacher must not preach without preparation, likewise, there ought to be a preparation for the hearing of God's word as well. Preaching is a two-way work of God's appointing. He calls the minister to preach, and he charges him to be instant, in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. But in the other way, there has to be a people who want to hear, who want to be reproved, who believe that it is in the interest of their souls that at times they do be rebuked, that they be treated with longsuffering and doctrine. Our Lord Jesus said that if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And the prophet Amos said that the days will come, thus saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or thirst, but a famine for the hearing of God's word. And that works again two ways. And if you look at that passage in Amos chapter 8, it tells you about that when there was no prophet to preach. And then when God did raise up the prophet to preach, there was no people to hear. There was no one to hear the message. I wonder today, has that famine come upon us? Has that famine come upon our generation, our own church? My burden is that every one of us begin to see and appreciate, perhaps as never before, the value of preaching and hearing God's word, that it is the chief means God uses, the preaching of the word, to bless his people, to build his church, and to bring glory unto his name. There is more manna, more food for souls in the living preaching of the word than in any other means. That has been the conviction of the people of God down through the generation. And that's why we still have a sermon when we come to worship God. Now, there's some things we need to look at here today. Firstly, we need an understanding of God's purpose in preaching. The sermon is God's way of building our lives upon the Scriptures alone. Sola Scriptura. In biblical preaching, the preacher is shut up to the Bible. At some point in his preparation, he comes to this book and he says, "What will God have me to preach?" The parameters are somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation chapter 22. And he needs to pray and ask God, Lord, out of all this great tomb of truth, is there a word that you'd have us to speak unto your people? And so the preacher is to make the Bible passage bear upon the hearer. And in a living manner, the Bible is kept alive, and the voice of God is heard through the preached word. When we talk about sola scriptura, the word of God alone, it certainly means that we're not confined to the private reading of God's word, but that this book is to be expounded, explained, and that it's to be set forth. Martin Luther said that the word is the channel through which the Holy Spirit is given. This is a passage against those who hold the spoken word in contempt. The lips are the public reservoirs of the church. In them alone is kept the word of God. You see, unless the word is preached publicly, it slips away. These are the words of Martin Luther. This work of preaching is to keep this word alive in any community, in any place. And of course, Satan does not care for the plain reading of the word, but when it's preached, that's when his heart is trembling. Because so much more is gained when God calls a man and burdens his heart to preach that word, to stand forth the people and declare it. It becomes the living oracle in God's name as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no comparison. Can you imagine people being ushered through the door of the church down into the library of the church and said, read? Or to be ushered in through the door of the church to take your place for the preaching, where a man comes having prepared his heart and his message and says under God, the Lord led me to bring you to dwell upon this portion of his word. It is a dynamically different whole approach to the expansion and the expounding of God's holy word. The sermon is God's way to keep us worshiping in truth. I think we've learned that text well over these last weeks. We are to worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. And apart from the Bible, how would you keep your worship focused on truth? You cannot add man's own imagination. You cannot come with the fanfare of man's creativity and still claim to be worshiping God in truth. To worship in such ways is only to fall into idolatry. And if we cannot use human reason, because man's reason is fallen and depraved, then we need a divine revelation. And so the sermon takes center place. Jesus himself defined truth. He said, thy word is truth. And the preached word is the only safe activity where we can focus our all upon the worship of the Lord our God. Because our worship is to be an intelligent worship. It's to be an informed worship. We're to come to God with knowledge. He says, you're to know that I am God. Cathedrals do not keep people in the truth. There are many people around the world today worshiping in various wonderful, wonderful man-made structures, but there's not a grain of truth being preached within. Solomon's temple, in all its wonder and glory, fell into terrible apostasy and idolatry. And of course, God sent its destruction. Herod's temple that was in 46 years in building and was still not fully completed in the days of Christ was a place of merchandise, a place of man-made worship and apostasy. Cathedrals, buildings, temples, they cannot keep men and women worshiping in truth. But it's our amens to the word of God. It is our hallelujahs to the praises of God according to the scriptures, by which we can worship God in spirit and truth. And one thing that God is looking for from the lips of his people and within the hearts of his people, and that is his truth. As it's revealed, as it's expounded, and as it is expressed unto him in our praises and in our devotions.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me.
Days of Isaiah, the Lord said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. And so we need to worship God in truth. And that's why God has ordained the preaching, expounding of his word. Preaching is also God's way of giving men and women a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to know God's Son than the preaching of the written word. When you think of it, for 30 years our Lord Jesus lived in this world amongst his own brothers in Nazareth, and they didn't know him. They didn't know him. They lived with him, they ate with him, they walked with him, they slept in the same little home, they worked in the same carpenter shop, but they didn't know him as the Son of God. And it wasn't until our Lord Jesus began to preach and he revealed that he was the one sent from the Father when he said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. And it was through his own preaching ministry that men began to grasp who he was. And thereby they could believe and accept him, not only as this Jesus of Nazareth, but as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And as the apostles took up the work of preaching and taking this message of Christ to the world, they preached Christ and him crucified. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you have the countless numbers that came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church's commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And it is this work of preaching by which even today the Lord reveals himself. And men and women, boys and girls, hear the voice of the Lord Jesus in their souls as this word is expounded and it's preached. There was a snowy Sunday morning when C.H. Spurgeon went into not the church building he intended to visit that morning. It was a different building. The preacher did not arrive because of the snow, and a deacon stepped up to read and to expound some scripture. His text was Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. And seeing this young 15-year-old somewhere under the gallery, he said, young man, look to Christ. Look to Christ. C.H. Spurgeon grew up in a pastor's home environment. His grandfather was a preacher. His father was a preacher. He had books galore all around him. But God used the preaching of a stammering deacon to point him the way to Christ and to save his soul. That is God's way over and over and over and over again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Peter said in his first epistle to the people whom he wrote to, that faith was given to them by the preaching of the word of God. It says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of uncorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And of course, the Lord sent the preaching of the word. He says that you have received the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's the preaching of the word by which men and women were gloriously converted. And so faith, repentance, regeneration, they are brought to pass. They're brought about in men's hearts and souls by this work of preaching. The preached word is also God's way of producing fruit and of growth in the Christian's life. And that's why Timothy was to preach the word in season, out of season. He was the shepherd of the flock. And he was to preach the word to the people that they would grow, that they would be abounding in the truth. And Peter said, that ye may grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see all of these reasons. It is through preaching that God blesses and works and pours out his Spirit. It is God's chief means of building his church, saving his people, and working in hearts. Now, we need that understanding. I need it as pastor of this church, and you need it as a member or adherent that come and make this your home church, that the sermon, the hearing of God's word preached. Now, I can't avoid the impact of this distinction. The hearing of God's word as it's preached through the lips of a clay vessel. It's God's way of producing fruit and greater grace in your life and your soul. How do we understand that? It is with that understanding that we can then make the undertaking that is required in the preaching and hearing of God's word. And in this undertaking, there's a number of things. Due to this understanding of the purpose of God to use preaching, we must respond to God's will and God's way by undertaking. First of all, for me, to Timothy, he was told, preach the word in season and out of season. But it's not working. Timothy, preach the word. But Lord, there's no people to preach to. Timothy, preach the word. And here comes, on the other side of the coin, to every believer, every worshiper, hear the word. It becomes an undertaking. It's an undertaking, of course, through our regeneration. You were born again by this word of God. And when you were born again by this word operating in your heart, creating faith in the Lord Jesus, a love of Christ and his truth, a hatred for the world and its sin, that word now becomes your very food. You hunger for it. It's the result of the new birth. And if you're not hungry for the word of God, can you be saved? Can you be born again? If you say, but it does nothing for me, then there's something deeply wrong with the human heart that says the preaching of the word is not for me. We're told as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And there is a desire. Every living, born baby into this world is born with a hunger and a thirst. And likewise, every Christian that's born of the Spirit is hungry for that word.
I thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, for giving us your time and attention. Just a little note here on a booklet available, Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. This is available through Let the Bible Speak on our website or just by phone. Christ's love for sinners. That's a wonderful theme that we have here in this book. Also, the word of our Lord to the dying thief today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Look at Jesus on the day of his death. After he had been nailed to the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One of the wonders of that day was the conversion of the dying thief, who prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus answered immediately, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In the morning this man was in his sins. In the afternoon he was saved by Christ. In the evening he was with Christ in paradise. He was justified, sanctified, and made ready for heaven in a few hours. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus to bad people. This is a wonderful thing, how God saves sinners. He hasn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it is the first requisite of salvation is to acknowledge that we have sinned. That means that we are transgressors of God's law. We have missed the mark, the bullseye that God has set for us. Either we have fallen short of the standard God, or we have gone beyond that standard, and we have failed to hit the mark. I wonder today, do you realize that you are a sinner in need of God's salvation? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he promises eternal life to all who call upon his name. These simple statements, truths, Bible verses, promises, exhortations, and pleas are found in this little booklet, Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. Now stay tuned for the announcement.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.